Hey everybody, Rob Maurer here, and today we are going to go through the new infrastructure deal that has some bipartisan agreement. We'll talk about some of the details there that has some implications on a EV tax credit, which obviously has implications on Tesla as well. We've also got some news on Panasonic, a couple of stories on them, news on Q3 orders, a couple of rumors there, update on supercharging, and an update on Starlink in terms of a potential IPO. Elon sharing a little bit more details on that. And then Elon has been tweeting, so we'll see if anything comes out during this episode. This is a live one. I have been today working on another project for Tesla Daily, which hopefully we'll have out to you guys soon, so I'm excited about that. But it has been a busy one, hence we're doing the live stream here at 10 o'clock Central Time. So thanks for the patience, and thanks for hanging out for the live stream. All right, so another great day for Tesla stock today, finishing up 3.5% to $679.82. That compared to the NASDAQ, up about 0.7%. Looks like our futures right here are pretty flat so far for the NASDAQ right now for tomorrow. But if we look at the top performers in the market, as we said yesterday, Tesla was the number one stock in the S&P 500 on the day yesterday and fell into the number two slot today with a 3.5% gain. So 2 days in a row, pretty much leading the market. Really, really fun to see. It's been a while for Tesla to be in that position. One other quick news and note here. So I was just on the Come Up Series podcast slash YouTube channel earlier tonight. So go check that out. I put a link for that in the show notes. Talk to them for about 50 minutes or so. I think I come in around 9 or 10 minutes. So if you want to check that out, definitely encourage that. And again, the link is in the description. All right, so first things first here, let's talk about the infrastructure plan. So as I've highlighted here, President Biden coming out today and saying, we've got a deal. So doesn't mean there's new laws yet or new legislation yet, just means there's some bipartisan agreement. I think a group of 10 senators, I believe, coming together on what an infrastructure proposal would look like that could have some bipartisan support that could then potentially make it through Congress. Obviously, if there is that bipartisan support, that should happen. However, you know, we're not quite there yet, and there are some contingencies here. So many of you may have heard about this already in terms of some reconciliation that may be a factor in terms of how an EV credit comes to be. So right now, we'll come back to this article in a second, but right now, this is what is in the infrastructure bill that Biden is saying that we've got a deal on. So we'll focus on the EV stuff. Obviously, there's quite a bit of information here, but in terms of electric vehicles, so the infrastructure bill that has this bipartisan support has infrastructure for EVs. So EV charging station says that this should be able to get them to their goal of building 500,000 EV chargers. And then it also has the electric school bus and transit buses element in there as well. However, obviously the big piece that people are watching for as it relates to Tesla is the tax credit, which we had talked about previously, potentially being reinstated without a cap, maybe $10,000 for Tesla and up to $12,500 per vehicle. There's nothing in here on that. You can see here the breakdown of the spending, just $7.5 billion for EV infrastructure there, $7.5 billion for electric buses and transit. However, so what Biden here is talking about is that this is part of what he views as being a multi-tier sort of phasing in of this infrastructure plan that he has holistically presented. You know, that $4 trillion proposal, basically. This is just a piece of it. New York Times here saying $600 billion. I've seen other places saying $900 billion or $1.2 trillion. So I'm not sure exactly what the dollar amount is, but this is just one section of what Biden wants to eventually pass, what Democrats eventually want to pass. So he's basically saying that if there is nothing else alongside this, that he's not going to sign it. And what he's looking for alongside that could come through a reconciliation process for budget and spending proposals later on. My understanding is that the fiscal year ends September 30th. I'm not super well versed in politics, but I think the reconciliation process would have some sort of formation before that. And that basically allows a vote to go through the Senate without having to have 60 out of 100. They can instead just get 50, and then Vice President, obviously Democrat, can then pass that along. So again, we're just going to have to kind of see how this comes together, but theoretically, the EV tax credit portion would potentially still be included in that section. So it's kind of interesting. You know, there's been some theorizing that maybe some of this infrastructure, you know, we have a deal stuff has leaked over the past couple of days, maybe a little bit early, And that could be one reason for the overperformance that we've seen in Tesla stock. But the fact that there's no EV credit in this stage of it, I don't know. It makes me kind of question that theory a little bit. And maybe the overperformance is actually from something else, or maybe it was just a misinterpretation of, or some hype that maybe that would pass. And then I know today we did see a little bit of a dive towards the end of the day, perhaps maybe a bit of a sell-off after finding out that, oh, you know, EV tax credit not in here at this point in time. So I'm just scrolling down here. I think there was one quote here from Speaker of the House Nancy Pelosi, obviously. There ain't no infrastructure bill without the reconciliation bill. So just saying that, you know, these are kind of tandem items, even though they're being presented in sort of different ways. So that's the important thing to know. So I think that covers most of the infrastructure plan. Again, we're just going to have to keep an eye on it. I think they're in recess for a couple weeks now, so we probably won't hear much for a couple weeks. But then when they get back in session, hopefully we'll get a little bit more news on that. But EV tax credit, not dead, but also not passed yet, or, you know, as a part of this, we have a deal bill. Okay, next here, we've got a couple of stories on Panasonic. So first here, the, I guess, more of the negative side. Panasonic has sold all of its shareholder or all of its stake in Tesla. So they had previously, you know, I think back in 2010, 2009, bought shares that ended up being 1.4 million shares after the split, $20 a piece. So last year in March, I think in their last annual filing, their stake was valued at $730 million. Sometime over the last year, they've closed their position. So they did net a pretty significant gain on that position. Hard to fault them for selling. But as we have seen Tesla move more in the direction of CATL, LG, Samsung's done a little bit with them on batteries too. Panasonic, the partnership has seemed, I don't know, just less tight than it has been in the past. Panasonic now divesting. However, not a bad thing because, you know, it's not the business itself that they're divesting from, just owning shares of Tesla stock. So I'm not going to read into that too much. We also have news here also from Panasonic today on the 4680s. So Bloomberg reporting that Panasonic is working to set up a prototype production line to test the 4680 batteries, next generation lithium ion cell. Obviously, we know all that stuff. If Panasonic looks to be capable of churning out better performing cells more efficiently than rivals, it will make a large investment in their production, according to their new CEO. Panasonic will seek to supply them to Tesla as well as to other automakers. So a couple interesting updates on that part. You know, this first part doesn't really tell us a whole lot. If they're capable of churning out better performing cells more efficiently than rivals, they'll make a large investment. I don't know exactly how they're going to be able to determine that unless they have a ton of insight into what their competitors are doing. But as we know, Panasonic has been in the testing phase for 4680s for quite some time. And it's good that they're at least willing to, you know, consider making a large investment, which kind of they're going to have to, I would think. Tesla's heading in that direction, obviously pretty aggressively. So if they don't want to lose that business to the other battery suppliers that we mentioned, Panasonic's just going to kind of have to go down that road. This is the first mention I've seen of 4680s going to other automakers, though, which is pretty interesting. That's been pretty much an open question since Tesla and other, you know, battery suppliers started talking about the 4680s. Was, you know, are these other battery producers licensing the technology from Tesla, or, you know, the patent from Tesla or whatever? At the end of the day, it's really just a form factor. So Tesla could still do unique things, whether that's dry battery electrode or, you know, whatever other detail that they walk through at battery day that are a little bit separate from the form factor. Although you would expect this form factor to at least have the tabless construction for everybody. So definitely some new innovations that, you know, maybe making their way to other automakers, which is always a question of, okay, that's great for accelerating electric vehicle adoption, presumably, but is that harmful to Tesla as an investment? So it's a subject that is worth watching, but, you know, Tesla's had the ability to gain a significant lead, even though everyone's had access to 18650s. The 2170s have now been out for 4 years already. In the Model 3, people have had time to adopt that form factor if they want. So it's not just the form factor that matters. There's, you know, go watch Battery Day again. It's a 3-hour presentation. There's a lot of things that go into it aside from just the, you know, the dimensions of the cell. So it's not something that's terribly concerning to me, but it is obviously worth keeping an eye on. It's at least good to have some confirmation that they'll open that up, though, to other automakers, so we kind of have an answer to that question. All right, next up here, a little bit of news on supercharging. This was a little bit confusing, primarily, I think, because of the headline that Electrek went with here. So Tesla confirms plan to open supercharger network to other automakers next year. But big, big caveat to that. This is just in Norway. Basically, Tesla responding to, you know, some... So minutes of a council meeting by the Norwegian government recapping basically a request to Tesla to open up their supercharger network for supercharger stations that had or will have government funding to help open them. So obviously the government is like, okay, if we're supporting these charging stations, they probably need to be open to everyone, not just one specific automaker. And Tesla, you know, agreeing with that. So Tesla has until the end of September 22 to make that happen. For my understanding, and I've this has been supported by comments that I've seen on Twitter today from people that are actually in Europe and have also seen this news, my understanding is that this is just for those superchargers that are in Norway that have had this government incentive help build them out. So the headline doesn't get after that. And obviously, we've already had rumors that Tesla may be opening the supercharger network. A couple weeks back, we had a federal German minister saying that they're pushing Tesla to do that. We also had the leaked call details, I don't know, probably 2 months ago now at this point, that said that Tesla was working on an adapter and an app to open up the supercharger network. So it's not like this isn't potentially going to happen in the future. It's just like we're not quite at that point yet from this report today. It just seems to be isolated to, again, just a handful of chargers in Norway. So just wanted to share my thoughts on that and hopefully clarify that a little bit for people that may have just seen the headline. Next here, again, maybe not the full picture here from the headline. I like Tesserati's work. I just think this is kind of the second article they've had this quarter that said that, you know, Tesla may already be sold out for Q3. If we look at the wait times, though, Tesla right now, we're on the Model 3 here, standard range plus, and you can see delivery timing 7 to 11 weeks. Same thing for the long range, same thing for the performance. So that would put us, you know, midway into Q3 at this point. I think the rumor here was that, you know, two sources today saying that within the next week or so, Tesla would be entirely sold out. I just want to remind people that we had a very similar report from Electrek at the beginning of Q2, or maybe the end of Q1, saying that Q2 was almost sold out, and then we saw new orders that were taking delivery well past that report, you know, maybe a month, 6 weeks after that report. So Electrek's got, you know, sources, we got reports of sources here. Those sources are tricky because there's probably pretty few people in the Tesla organization that have access to like the actual order book. This is kind of what we talked about with the information report on China orders. Sometimes they may just not have the full picture of the entire, you know, North American order book or whatever. This could just be coming from a store, could be coming from a particular regional manager or something like that. It's just, we've seen rumors like this not to come to fruition. And right now in the design studio, you know, we're still seeing 7 to 11 weeks. And then on the Model Y, September, obviously, that's the last month in Q3. And then just 6 to 10 weeks on the performance. So I'd be surprised if in a week from now, we come into the design studio and it says, you know, October. It's just we're not really that close. I think Tesla's demand is great. Like, we've continued to see good signs of that. It doesn't really matter to me if they're sold out through Q3, but I'm not seeing signs of that. So I don't know. We'll just have to wait and see on that. But I think characterizing it as Tesla being sold out for Q3 is probably not accurate at this point in time. All right, just looking through my notes here, I think we've just got, yeah, one other quick update on Starlink from Elon today. So replying to Tesla and the Gong, Patreon supporter of the show, shout out to him. Any thoughts on Starlink IPO? Would love to invest in the future. Any thoughts on first dibs for Tesla retail investors? Elon has actually kind of mentioned that in the past as well. So he's saying at least a few years before Starlink revenue is reasonably predictable. Going public sooner than that would be very painful. Will do my best to give long-term Tesla shareholders preference. So possibly good news for a lot of people watching this channel, but Elon's still saying it's a few years before any Starlink IPO, which is, you know, pretty consistent with what we've heard him say before. So could be exciting in a while, and maybe a good reason to hold on to some of those longer term Tesla shares. So I'm just going to quickly check and make sure there's no crazy new Elon tweets in the last few minutes. Looks like we do have a couple here. I'm thinking these are mostly Bitcoin related. Elon was replying to Jack Dorsey earlier on that. And we're probably looking at some SpaceX stuff. This is maybe the only one. Yeah, so mostly SpaceX stuff there. But keep an eye on it. Last tweet 3 minutes ago, so who knows what else we'll see tonight. But we will be back tomorrow to cover that. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on Twitter at Tesla Podcast, of course. And I will see you tomorrow for the, what are we at, Friday, June 25th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.